On the evening of the 14th day of Nisan, in the year 3790 by the Jewish calendar, in the year 784 since the foundation of the city of Rome, it was Passover in Jerusalem. Within the marble beauty of the temple, Caiaphas, the high priest, was reading aloud from the 12th chapter of Exodus, the same chapter we just read in Vietnamese this evening. But the difference was that when in speaking of the Lamb, Caiaphas uttered the words, "And with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight." At that exact moment, three Levite priests, standing over three lambs, lifted up the jaws of the little animals and with a single stroke drew sharp knives across the three throats of the three little lambs. By ritual, the killing had to be done in one stroke and the victim must not utter a cry. Some of the blood of each animal was caught in a golden basin and handed up along a long line of priests until the last one, standing at the sacrificial rock, took the basin and dashed the blood against the sacrificial stone altar. It ran down brightly over the bulges and the rocks, falling toward the drains at the lower end of the altar. A threefold blast from silver trumpets sounded, signaling that night had fallen. While across town, Jesus and his 12 disciples began their evening Passover supper. That supper which we now call the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a meal, yes, but it was more than a meal. It was also a sacrifice. How's that? In the ancient world, all religions practiced animal sacrifice. Even the Romans practiced animal sacrifice to their gods with a small g. Julius Caesar, when he led his troops into battle, before they attacked an enemy city, he would stop outside the city, he would perform a sacrifice, kill an animal, even if it was just a pigeon or a bird, and implore God's help on victory in that battle to that city. What was animal sacrifice about? You took some part of God's creation, maybe some choice crops. More often than not, an animal, a calf, a cow, a lamb, and you offer it back to God. You offered it to God as a sign of thanksgiving, or to say you were sorry for your sins, or to ask for something. More often than not, a victory in battle, or that an enemy would be defeated. If we lived in a perfect world, sacrifice would be easy. But in our world of sin, our fallen world in which we all live, sacrifice is hard. Turning back to God is painful. Leaving my sinful ways behind, turning to Jesus Christ with my whole heart and soul, it's not easy. Remember St. Augustine. During the time of his conversion, before he turned back to God, he had that famous prayer, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." Okay, you know, it's painful to watch an animal die. It was painful even to read out what the priest did to those lambs. The pain of the animal signifies the pain I am going through in trying to realign my life with God. Sacrifice is a word that implies pain. Make a sacrifice. Offer it up. Do something you don't want to do. Bishop Barron, the great commentator, said, "In a world gone wrong, there is no communion without sacrifice. There's no communion with God without a painful sacrifice." Now, back in Jerusalem, people that traveled there from the towns, villages, and cities around Palestine, you could smell Jerusalem before you could see it. Because at the temple, there were continually burning animals. So it smelled like barbecue smoke all the time, drifted over the plains. There was lots of pouring and sprinkling of blood. On Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for Jesus and for all Jews, the Jewish high priest entered the Holy of Holies, a special sanctuary inside the temple where he could only enter, only him, and only once a year. And he sprinkled some sacrificial blood inside the Holy of Holies. Then he came out and sprinkled blood on the people. Why did he do that? To reconcile them with God. Now you can understand why John the Baptist, whose father was a temple priest, and whose father, Zechariah, was the one who could go into that Holy of Holies once a year and do that blood sprinkling. When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, he shouted out, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." What does the Lamb of God mean? Some people say, oh, that meant he was meek, or, you know, he was real sweet or soft and cuddly. No. When John the Baptist said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God," he knew this is the one to be sacrificed. The Last Supper is a meal, yes. What we commemorate here tonight is a meal, yes. But it's so much more. When Jesus said, "This is my body, which will be given up to you, up for you," he was using sacrificial language. When he said, "This is the chalice of my blood," the apostles and the first Christians would immediately have thought of the priest who caught the blood of the sacrificial animal in a bowl and later sprinkled it on the altar or even on the people. The blood of Jesus is the blood of the new and eternal covenant. As the priest says in the words of consecration, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. That's why the priest, like John the Baptist, uses sacrificial language when he consecrates the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ at every Mass. At the Last Supper, Jesus, by his words and actions, was anticipating with the apostles what would happen the next day when he would go to the cross, the great, once and for all, act of temple sacrifice. From that time on, after Jesus died on the cross, no more need for the temple. No more need for sacrifice of animals. That's why on the day he died, the moment he died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. That's why he told the Jews, "Destroy this temple, 3 days I will build it." Speaking of the temple of his body. He becomes the new temple. He's the Lamb of God, sacrificed. Jesus' body would be killed like the animals. His blood would be poured out like theirs. Jesus took on himself the sins of the whole world so that once and for all divinity and humanity could be reconciled. Students used to say to me, "Father, if Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, as you say at Mass, why do I have to go to confession? Isn't that good enough right there? That's a good question. I'd say, yes, he died on the cross once and for all. But his sacrifice has to be applied to each and every one of us, one by one by one. Starting with the people at the foot of the cross who were sprinkled with his blood, and continuing down through history. So when the priest dares to say to you and me in the confessional, I absolve you from your sins, he gets the power to do that from Jesus' once and for all death and sacrifice on the cross. One by one, soul by soul, we approach him so that our sins can be forgiven. And in the Mass, we receive inside of ourselves and become united with him, with his body and blood, with his soul and divinity.